I was having a conversation with a pastor that I highly respect. You'll get to meet him next year. I'm going to bring him here. Pastor Gerald, and I was just with him a couple weeks ago, and got just a God connection. He's been in my life. And we started talking about the love of the church and family and parenting and fighting for your families and just loving the church. And this sermon's really birthed out of that. And I thank God for him. And I want to minister this to you today, but let's go Acts 20, 22. I'll start at verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "And now compelled by the Spirit and obligated by my convictions." Are you obligated to your convictions? Or are you feeling obligated to your feelings? Listen to me. You better be led by your convictions. We're so quick to get rid of them. When was the last time you added something to your conviction list? Most of us were willing to just get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that. When was the last time you stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, I will never do this again. I will never do that. I will never go there. I will never look at that. I will never participate with that. I will never associate with that." Come on, can I get an amen about that? This is a conviction in my life. I'm not telling you what. You have to get those from the Lord. I'm not putting my convictions on you. But I'm saying you need to go to the Lord and say, "God, convict my heart." How many of you live long enough to realize conviction is permission to repent? Led by my convictions, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit has affirmed to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me. How many of you want the Lord to speak to you that you're going to go to jail? Here's another word from God. You're getting ready to suffer. This is New Testament. What? That's the enemy. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to suffer. The just shall suffer persecution. All through Scripture. What a great church growth strategy. Who wants to suffer? Follow me. Suffer. He says, "The Lord has confirmed it to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me, but I do not consider my life," he says, "I do not consider my life as something of value or dear to me." This is why Jesus said, whoever chases his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. How many of you realize when you got saved, you died to your will? What? Come at 5 o'clock. I got plans. No, you're dead. Dead people don't have any plans. "I do not consider my life as something of value or dear to me, so that I may with joy finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify faithfully of the good news of God's precious undeserved grace, which makes us free from guilt of sin and grants us eternal life." How many of you are glad you're free from the guilt of sin and you have eternal life? Anybody glad that you're free from the guilt of sin? How many of you are glad you have eternal life? Anybody? And he says, and now, everybody say, and now. This is Paul now, okay? He says, and now listen carefully. Paul says, listen carefully. I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. All of you who I've preached to, he goes, you're never going to see me again. He knows he's getting ready to die. My life has been spent on the kingdom. I count my life for the cause of Christ. I'm getting ready to, I know I'm going to suffer. I know I'm going to be imprisoned. And all of you who I've preached to, what I do know is you're never going to see me again. And for that reason, verse 26, for that reason, I testify to you, our parting day, that the innocent of blood of all people, verse 27, for I did not shrink in declaring to you the whole purpose of the plan of God. He says, I didn't cower away when it came to marriage. I didn't cower away when it came to telling you marriage is between a man and a woman. I didn't cower or shrink when I came to speaking the truth in love. You know, the people got mad at Paul when he preached to them. Paul even said in another part, he said, there was a time that you would have done anything for me. He said, if I asked you for your shirt, you'd have given it to me. He says, but now have I become your enemy that I tell you the truth? Now because I tell you the truth, I'm your enemy? He says, I did not shrink. Any pastors watching me across this nation, do not shrink or cower. Fathers that are listening to me, do not shrink or cower when it comes to preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Preach it in season and out of season. Preach it when it's popular and when it's not. Preach it when people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Preach it when they like you. Preach it when they don't like you. Preach the counsel of God's word. Preach it in your homes. Everybody say, don't cower. Don't cower. I did not shrink for declaring to you the whole purpose of the plan of God. Verse 28, look here. Take care of yourselves and be on guard for yourselves and for the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, to shepherd, to tend, to feed, to guide, to care for the church. Care for the church. I'm going to die. But care for the church, for which Christ paid for with his own blood. And I got to be honest with you, every time I read that verse, it gets me. Every time I read that verse, it just gets me in my heart to take care of yourselves and to care for the church. Everybody say, care for the church. I told my staff to don't just have a job at the church, care for the church. Care for the church. Don't worry about your title or what you hope to be one day, but care for the church, which he bought with his own blood. Joanne and I moved to Minnesota. I moved here before her. We were engaged 20-something years ago. We celebrated 20 years of marriage on the 30th of last month, 20 years of marriage. You know, honestly, the older I get, the less I care how big someone's church is, how great their ministry is. I care more. Let me see your marriage. Let me see your children. Because they know who you really are. I got one wife, praise God. I got one wife, 8 children, and I'm proud to still be married and have kept my vows. I'm not going to be a statistic. Come on, somebody say amen about it. I'm not going to be a statistic. Kept my vows to my wife. And we started with nothing. We're like John Maxwell. He says, I started out with nothing and I still have most of it. I was living in a basement in Bloomington. And we started our church, 4 people. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Now I look and see all that God's done in our church in 20 years, all the ministry. And I was just reminded this year, as I talked to Pastor Kevin about, you know, because every year around vision, for the last 20 years, I've gone to God and said, God, what do you want the church to accomplish? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to go for? Show us, Lord. And every year for 20 years, I would share with the church, like, these are the things God wants us to do, an ultrasound bus. How many of you are glad for our ultrasound bus ministry and all the orphanages, the homes that we've built in Guatemala, all the beautiful things, helping free victims of sex trafficking and building bomb shelters in Israel. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on of all the things that the Lord's laid on our heart to do. And this year, I was just reminded of this old nursery rhyme. How many of you remember the nursery rhyme, the goose that lays the golden eggs? Anybody ever heard of that old nursery rhyme? If you haven't, read it. That's your homework, is to read the... I'm kidding, but the moral of the story is there's a farmer, and he has this goose that every morning when he wakes up, he goes out, and the goose has laid a golden egg. How many of you would like one of those? I mean, I would much rather have one of those than all these Canada geese we got over here destroying the property every... Somebody needs to call Canada and tell them to come get their birds. And, I mean, every morning there's this goose, and there's a golden egg. And so the farmer becomes enamored with these eggs. I mean, how many of you would become enamored? He's shining them. I mean, he's counting them every day, counts them. He's got them all laid out. He looks at them. Man, these are just amazing. Look at these golden eggs. And he's looking at them. He's counting them. He's shining them. And he's in love with these eggs. And in loving the eggs, he's lost his affection for the goose. It was like the goose didn't matter. Everything was about the eggs. And he's like, well, why don't I just get all the eggs? And so he opens up the goose, realizes there's no eggs in there. And now there's no more coming because he's killed the goose. Because without the goose, there's no eggs. And I just couldn't help with this illustration to think about all the things we've accomplished as a church in 20 years, how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are, how much we love to celebrate them. But I couldn't help but think this year, as the Lord spoke to me, that maybe there are those of us in this room who are more in love. And if we put an egg on the screen and it touched your heart, you're like, I'd write a check today for that. I love that mission. I love that thing. And we're so enamored with the eggs. But do we love the goose? We're so enamored with what the church can do, but we've lost our love for the church. We so want to give to what the church can accomplish, and we brag about, and we're in love with all the missions and all the, and they're all wonderful, all the things that the church produces, but we've kind of lost our affection for the actual church that Jesus Christ paid for with his own blood. And the Lord spoke to me this year and he's like, I don't want you to add anything else to the plate. I just want you to talk to my people about loving the church. Yes. Loving the church. And I love the missions programs and the multi-site and campuses and all of the needs and attention of our church. And I think it's wonderful, and the mission homes. And you got to realize the church is a living, breathing body. And it has to be cared for and nurtured and fed and strengthened and protected and looked out for. And it has to be healthy. Can I get an amen about that? The church is not just an organization, it's also an organism. It's a living thing with separate functions, and they're dependent upon each other. The Bible says, can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of you? That we are the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 1:23. Put that verse on the screen. It says the church is Christ's body. We're Christ's body. And so hear me today when I tell you that the life-giving church produces golden eggs of great value. We do. How many of you are thankful for all that your church is able to do, all that we've been able to accomplish? How many of you are thankful for the golden eggs of the church? And when we come together as a church, we have no way of knowing or even keeping track of all that God is doing through the church. If we started over here and we just said, tell us all that God has done in your life since when you got saved till now, through the, not just Creative Church, but the church globe, tell us what God has done. We would be here for a year of people telling how their life has been impacted by the church. And one thing is for sure, that everything God is doing or has done or wants to do, he's going to do through the church. And don't argue with me, I'm right about this. Everything that God wants to do that is good or has done, you can trace it back to somewhere it started with God's glorious church. It started with God's glorious church. And today we have every reason to be confident and have every reason to hold our heads high and have resolve and leadership in this age that we're living in right now. The church has never failed, guys. I can't get an amen about it. I'm going to say it again. The church has never failed. The church has never lost. The church has been through wars. The church survived every world war. Every war, the church has survived it. The church has been through battles. The church survived COVID. The church has survived Democrat and Republican presidents. The church has survived economic ups and downs. The church existed before America. The church has been through pandemics. The church continues to move forward. The church continues in its purpose. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the church that Jesus Christ paid for with his own blood? And if it were not for the church, there would be no Christ followers. There'd be no missionaries. If it wasn't for the church, there'd be no leaders or preachers or pastors. There would be no places or spots to teach our children the word of God. There'd be no places to teach and encourage teenagers. There wouldn't be 200 teenagers here every Wednesday night learning about Jesus and worshiping Jesus and on their knees crying out to God. If it wasn't for the church, there'd be no youth camps if it wasn't for the church. How many of you went to Sunday school? Raise your hand as a kid. That's the church. There'd be no Christian values in our culture if it wasn't for the church. In Creative Church, we don't just champion missions. We do missions, but we champion the church. And hear me when I tell you, because I think many times we have a tendency over the last 20 years, everybody's got their little thing that they're passionate about. Everybody's got their little egg that they love. Come on, I'm talking to you as a family today. Everybody's got that thing that they like. Look at the egg. This is my egg. You know, look how beautiful it is. This is my thing, and I like it like this, and I don't like it like that, and I don't agree with this or kids or the music or the service times or, you know, and this is a great cause, and we need to support. They're digging wells in Africa. All of it's wonderful. But we have to make sure that we have health in the church. That the church itself is healthy. That the church itself is strong. We don't champion compassion. We do compassion, but we champion the church. We don't champion humanitarian projects. We do humanitarian projects, but we champion the church. And every Christian organization has its origin in the church. Just think for a minute. Every Christian school started in the church. Harvard wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the church. Do you think your government started schools? They didn't. The church did. The church. That's why if you look back, you'll see little one-room church houses, and it was a school throughout the week. You think the government started hospitals? They didn't. You know who did? The church. Thank God for the church. That's why so many hospitals are named. It started with the church. Every Christian university, every Christian-led business, every Christian arts, all of it has its history in the ministry of God's great church. All the organizations that we support are led by people who God saved in the church, who were disciplined and discipled by the church, who were called into the ministry and set forth by the church. And our church has some of the greatest programs. How many of you are thankful for our kids program and our teen program? Come on, don't they do a great job? And some things we're going to start that we're not even doing now, some things we stopped. Do you know how many ministries we've stopped in 20 years? Do you know how many things we used to do that we just don't do anymore? We're following a cloud. Come on, church, can I get an amen about that? And I've seen people cop an attitude towards the church because the church didn't do what they wanted to do exactly how they wanted to do it. Well, I think the church should do this about elections, about songs, about times, about youth, about kids, about academies, about schools, about campus. People can get goofy on you. And every leader in this place is submitted to our elders, our pastors, our board. It's not like Andrew and I will tell people, like, hey, that's not yours. That belongs to the church. Well, that's my small group. No, that's not your small group. Where did you meet those people? Oh, you met them at church. So now you're not gonna because you don't like something about the church, you're gonna try to pull all those people out of the church and then say it's God? That would be like us trying to build our church by going into another church and talking about the pastor to try to empty that church to build our church. How wicked would that be? We don't build our church like that. You know how we build our church? By winning people for Jesus, one at a time. Somebody say amen about that. That's how you build a church. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to you as family. You got to, hey, that's not okay. You need to protect the church. And when people start to do that, you know what happens? It comes with neglect. They start to neglect the church. They start to have contempt in their heart towards the church. They undervalue the goose that produced it. Come on. Oh, they're not doing that thing that I wanted to do. How do you think that got here? The goose produced it. Now you're in love with the egg over the church? Everything we have in our church, we have because of the church. Every ministry, everything we do is because of the church. And I just want to appeal to you today, wherever you're at, that the part we play, I'm sorry, that what we're a part of is bigger than the part we play. And no matter where you serve, let's guard the goose. Everybody say, guard the goose.
Guard the goose.
Yeah. Worship leaders, guard the goose. Youth leaders, guard the goose. Small group leaders, guard the goose. Men's ministry, guard the goose. Women's ministry, guard the goose. Givers and volunteers, guard the goose. Because there is nowhere on earth is like the church. You know what's so hard is that even talking to God's church seems weird to them. They're so enamored with talking about eggs. If I talk about eggs, everybody shouts. Yeah. But if I talk about just loving the goose, it's like, oh yeah. No, you got to love the church. There's things that happen here that don't happen anywhere else. Church believers find friends here. Families come together. Babies are dedicated. People are water baptized. Children learn about Jesus. Young people find their identity in Christ and not in something else in the church. People get married in the church. People get healed in the church. We do communion in the church. Some people met their spouse in the church. Yeah. I gave my youth to Creative Church. 20 years, my youth. I saw pictures of me the other day when I started and had no gray hair, none. All black, just slick, straight. Young, run, strong. Gave them all to the church. Every one of them. And I love our church. I'm going to say that again. I love our church. And I will always, until the Lord takes me home, will champion this local church. All of my life, I will champion this local church. And God put it on my heart. And God's put it on Joanne's heart. He's given us a ministry that we're making a part of the church to reach families and parents and marriages. We want this church to have the greatest families, the greatest marriages. How many of you want that for your families? The greatest. And I've made a commitment and a vow to God to help him build and love his church. And Paul says in this, I'm almost done, but he says, you're not going to see me again. But I want you to remember this one thing. I don't want you to forget it. Don't forget it. Everybody say, don't forget it. Don't forget it. He says, you remember this. He says, care for the church. Take care of yourselves. Watch out for her. Don't let some little silly thing sidetrack you and take you off course. When it comes to the church, write these down. I'm going to give you five types of people in the church. I don't know. I'm posting this online, so if you don't. When it comes to the church, these are five types of people. Number one, you got critics. Number two, cynics. Number three, consumers. Number four, contributors. And number five, champions. And with the critics and cynics, they always criticize everything. Anybody got some critics in your life? I've been doing ministry for 25 years. They're always criticized. They boo the church. The church gets ready to run down the field. Boo! They get on Facebook, boo! They do. They boo the church. Boo! They tear down, they dishonor the church. They write books about what they think is wrong with the church. They try to build YouTube platforms of what they think is wrong with God's glorious church. Call members and gossip and Facebook, trying to post and critique. They blaspheme the church. It's always interesting to me how the people God entrusts with nothing seem to know everything. It's like, what has God entrusted you with again? You don't know one chapter of the Bible, but you're a critic? Boo! I don't agree with that. Boo! These are critics. They carry offense towards the church. I'm not just talking about creative. I'm talking about God's glorious church. And some of them have committed sin and have failed themselves, and in doing so, they turn and blame the church. And they come up with this pretty little thing, well, you know, I love Jesus and da-da-da-da-da, but I just don't love the church. There is nothing more wicked and satanic and anti-Jesus at its core than that statement. How can you love Jesus and not love his bride? That he died for, gave and paid for with his own blood. Don't sit there and tell me you love Jesus, but you don't love his church. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. My wife, I will protect her, even if she's wrong. Now, you ask her, she'd tell you, I was mistaken once. Even if she's wrong. I'll defend her. I'll provide for her. I make it my responsibility to make sure she never has a need that's not met in her life. That's how God cares about the church. When you mess with the church, you're messing with God's wife. He's going to marry the church. Come on, somebody. You don't want to mess. You don't want to mess with God's wife. He died for her. And Jesus loves the church. Jesus has not stopped providing for his church. Somebody say amen about that. And metaphorically, the church is also the mother. Everything born of God comes through what I call Mother Church, which is not my statement. That's actually historical, theological verbiage. I love what this early church father, Cyprian of Carthage, said. Put this on the screen for me. He says, no one, he's an early church father, he says, no one can have God as their father who does not have the church as their mother. If we are children of God, we are also children of the church. Somebody say amen about that. Don't just tell me you love Jesus and you don't love the church. You may not like your siblings, but don't talk about our mother. You may not even like me as your pastor, but leave the church alone. Somebody say amen about that. And if you're running away from correction and discipline and instruction that your mother's tried to give you, I don't want to hear you complaining and criticizing your mother. And frankly, your Heavenly Father doesn't want to hear it either. I'm almost done. Then you got consumers. They come to church to see what we can offer them. Check out the flavor. And I tell my staff, because they have to deal with them all the time, I just tell them, look, consumers are consumers. Don't get upset with them. Love them. They consume everything, produce nothing. I mean, you love your children, they do the same thing. All the parents say amen. Come on, parents. They eat up everything, produce nothing. Help themselves to the refrigerator. I mean, I have kids in my home that literally think, Joanne and I went to the store and bought this whole thing for them to eat in one setting. Just that's what they think. We bought this bag of chips. Oh, they bought this for me to eat. Just sit down and eat the whole thing. Do you not realize there's other people in the home? Am I the only parent in here that knows what I'm talking about? It's like they don't consider anybody else. Just consume, 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 consume. And God will use them to help you grow in patience and in generosity. And then you got the contributors. Thank God. Can we celebrate all our contributors, all those who serve? And I thank God for them. And really, for the sake of time, I'll be done. But really, the only difference between a contributor and they serve in God's house, they love. And we've got kids that are 10, 12, 14, 15 who are moved away from consumers to contributors at a young age. Some of you are thankful you served in God's house as a child and it taught you. It taught you how to handle the household of faith. But the only difference really between a contributor and a champion is a contributor is not as committed as a champion. And a champion will get in the battle with you. They build the church. Let me say it this way. A champion has the bandwidth of tolerance and strength. They give their life for the church. They stand up for the church. They fight for the church. And they're sitting around here today. Can we celebrate all the champions in the room today? And a champion, and I'm not just talking about creative, but a champion really has an indebtedness in their heart for the church. They feel like, you know what? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the church. How many of you have an indebtedness in your heart for what the church has done for you? It may not be creative, but the church impacted your life. And you just go like, I really can't even tell my story. My marriage, I wouldn't even be where I am today if it wasn't for the church of Jesus Christ. Our lives are completely different. My marriage is different. Everything in my life is completely different because of the church. And this is a beautiful thing. And the church is divine and it's sacred and it's holy. And some people say, well, how can God be in it and there's problems, you know, with the church or there's difficulties with the church? Well, let me ask you before we go, are you saved? Say amen if you're saved. Amen. Are you born again? Say amen. Amen. Yeah, and you still got things in your life that aren't right. And God still uses you. Amen. So why would you think that the church, which is just a collective of all those people, would have no problems, have no difficulties, and think that the blood that applies to your life does not apply to the body? We are the church. Everybody say, we are the church. And I want you this morning, if you in your heart have become disenfranchised with the church, and I'm not just talking about creative, because some of you might be visiting, but you need to let the Lord heal your heart. You need to love the church again. You need to care for her. You need to find a way to just not love the golden eggs and all that the church can produce, but just love the church for which Jesus died for. Come on, you get something out of this today? Can you give Jesus a praise?
Hey, if this sermon blessed you and your family, I want to encourage you to be a Truth partner. You can do that by simply going to creativechurch.com/give and partnering with us to help get this message of truth out to more people in our nation and around the world. It is our Truth partners that make this a reality. Again, thank you for subscribing to our channel. Thank you for liking today's video. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.